This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
All right, spring training coverage here as we broadcast from Clearwater, brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka. Proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. We look forward to talking to Dave Dombrowski at 9:30 today. By the way, in part because we are talking to Dombrowski at 9:30, we will not do life advice with the hammer, which we typically do this segment. We want to prioritize to get a lot of phone calls in this segment. But, of course, when we do life advice, and we would expect to do it next week, always brought to us by MHS Lift. If you're looking for forklifts, a warehouse efficiency assessment, any type of material handling equipment, or if your equipment needs repairs, get yourself to MHSLift.com. All right, reaction. A lot of phone calls this segment. Let's roll. Andrew in Ambler. Andrew, good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you, team?
Doing great, Andrew.
Good, good. I did call in last week, and I did mention about the only way that I felt like the Phillies were going to get a little bit more fan enthusiasm was to change the lineup. So I want to give you a little bit of a visual, if I may.
Sure.
Picture that Trey Turner leads off, and I like what Rob said about it might change his approach. I think James was talking about that earlier when I was listening.
Yeah.
So picture this. Trey Turner gets on base through a walk. He steals second. You know then Harper's going to be pitched around because they don't want to deal with him. You got Boehm, who's the doubles machine. He drives in Trey. It's a 1-0. You got a runner on first and second, and here comes Schwarber in the four hole and hits a home run, and suddenly it's 4-0.
That sounds great. So can you book it?
I just think that lineup right there, you know, Schwarber doing his Schwarbomb thing, but you've got the potential of Turner and Harper and Boehm who can get on base. Of course, you know, Boehm was leading doubles, like we said, and Turner may be stealing bases with his approach change. I just love that. Love that lineup situation right there.
Well, it's pretty good. The one thing I'll say, Andrew, I'm going really nitpicky here. If it's the start of an inning, I don't think they're pitching around Bryce Harper if there's nobody out, because, you know, you just don't want to put two guys on base with no one out. But I get your point that, you know, they're going to pitch around him at times. That's clear.
Yeah,
it is so key. See, here's the thing, guys. I brought it up last segment, but let me say it again. Rhys Hoskins was the best protection for Bryce Harper in Bryce Harper's tenure here. Now, the best protection is when anyone gets hot. And there have been times when Castellanos has gotten hot. There have been times when Boehm has gotten hot. There were times JT got hot. And there certainly were times when Rhys got hot. But I would say from a consistency standpoint, who did I trust the most batting behind Bryce Harper to help Bryce Harper? I would say it was Rhys. And once he got going in Game 3 of the 2022 NLDS, that's when I felt like, you know, they took it to another level. Game 1, I'm sorry. Game 3.
You're right, Game 3, first home game.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I just think, honestly, I just think with, yes, they've been successful with Schwarber at the leadoff, but I just think there's more run production. You know, Schwarber hits a bomb at leadoff, great, it's 1-0. But if you've got people in the lineup, and that's why Stott also leading off might work to a degree sometimes. You just, you get more run production, and that's what they need in the playoffs too, right? They don't need
one of, I'll tell you one of the things I don't like about Stott leading off. Schwarber then bats fifth. And I think there's a good chance he's their second-best hitter, and I don't want him hitting fifth.
Yeah, that's true.
Andrew, give me an answer for the Eric Clapton tickets, best nickname ever.
I don't know if it's been said, but can I also ask, try and talk to Dombrowski. You know, can we please not put Stubbs as a backup catcher? Can we give this Marchan a chance, please?
Sure.
He's much more offensively gifted than Stubbs.
Understood. All right, what do you got for a nickname?
I don't know if it's been said, but Elvis Presley, the king.
Yeah, the king. I mean, one of about seven or eight kings. Elvis is, so Richard Petty was the king.
Mm-hmm.
Been a lot of kings through the
LeBron
years.
LeBron James.
And
king
that was
James.
King James
yeah.
Bible.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah,
think.
Of course, yeah.
All right, Elvis the king. Not a bad answer.
James is a very kingly name.
Come on.
I think is the big takeaway
what
from here.
Dorky comment you know? That is. My yeah. God.
You can call me king if you want. Like greatness, dude, greatest. I should be named king. King Seltzer.
Hey, when you got a Bible named after you, it's
some
kind of a big deal.
There have been many Bible. Kings named James. I'm just saying.
Did you ever, John, have a nickname?
How many King Josephs were there?
Did you ever have a nickname?
I have never had a nickname except for Richie Rich.
Yeah.
Kid Richie Vicious Rich. On the show. Remember Kid more, Vicious for a moment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Richie Rich is more just. What about the Mechanicsburg Mauler?
No.
That's pretty good.
That's a
what
lot
about
of
something with the bloody forehead?
One.
You never. There was never any bloody, like, you know, type of nickname there.
Hmm.
Not that I was aware
the
of.
The Bleeder. That's well, pretty intimidating.
It doesn't have.
That's pretty horrible.
That's funny.
Jerry Cooney was a bleeder, and it doesn't make me feel.
No,
great
it's not that tough to be the
Jerry
bleeder.
Jerry Cooney-esque.
Rhea, do you remember when Cooney fought? I want to say Holmes. I could be wrong.
Is it that was the tomato can.
Well, there was a great nickname for the fight because it was at Caesars, and they were both really old. Do you remember what it was?
Oh, the geezers at the Caesars.
The geezers at
yeah,
Caesars.
Yeah, that's a great nickname. Larry Holmes,
the,
great nickname.
The
that was so
Caesars.
Bad.
Yeah.
And anybody who, like, actually paid for it, like, why?
Unbelievable. All right. So, Rhea, I know you and James have been following some social media stuff going
oh,
on.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
With the Eagles. Can you, tell us and everyone listening, what is going on with social media with the Eagles defensive backfield?
So, I think it's, I'm pretty sure now it's very hard to do the piecing together of this, but I think you played Darius Slay on Emmanuel Acho earlier.
Yeah.
And he was mentioning, you know, that Reed Blankenship, you know, a good lead. He apparently mentioned, like, pretty much everybody in the secondary except for one person. His name would be CJGJ.
Mm.
He does not appear to be pleased, and someone from the Eagles should probably get to him on Twitter.
So wow. He's tweeted a few times. There was a tweet yesterday around the same time that the Zach Bond contract came out that was like cryptic about, like, man, you would think after a great season, you know, oh, you got me twin or whatever.
Now, let me say this before you keep going. I wondered yesterday when I saw that if it was about our show talking about Jalen Hurts.
Ah, that's interesting, too.
I just wondered.
No, a lot of people thought it was about the Zach Bond contract, you know, and him not getting, you know, and okay. Saquon after a year, whatever. Yep. But there was, it's been deleted, but CJDJ did quote tweet the audio. So someone put out the comments, the quotes, you know, Reed Blankenship being around me, a lot of veterans, like what Slay said. And CJGJ quoted and said, this is what I'd be talking about. What other vet you going to bring in, bro, to lead this group? All that slick bleep got to stop, bro. Being a leader is by action and doing things. Yeah, I talk that smack, but fam, let's be real here. My passion and fire for this group showed. No hate in me, 100. So I think that the fact that Slay didn't
mention him
yeah. when talking about the leaders. When again, that was my first thought when you played that audio for wow. Blankenship. I'm like, what? That's weird. Not CJGJ. We saw the speeches. He's a captain. So I think CJGJ felt it was weird too.
Wow. Okay.
And he's. The thumbs are moving this morning with him.
Really? So
yeah.
been a couple different.
Well, listen, and I don't blame it. Like, he referenced that, you know, you got to the divisional round without me the 1 year. And listen, I think the reason they brought him back is they needed an edge in that backside of the, and he provides it. He really does.
Well, he does provide an edge. Look, guys, I have no idea who the best leader in the defensive backfield is. How can I know? I'm not supposed to know. I will say this. Darius Slay, indicating that Reed Blankenship's a better leader than CJGJ, could be accurate.
That carries sure. weight,
I mean,
too.
Just because CJGJ is a better player,
oh, yeah.
which he is
yeah.
a better player, yeah. doesn't mean he's automatically a better leader.
And there's a difference yeah. between being 100%. The rah-rah guy who's going to be the crazy, get everyone hyped person. I do think that CJ GJ, he's awesome that. And he's gonna always have an edge, and everyone appreciates that. He brings some levity also when it's needed most. Reed Blankenship, not as dynamic a personality, there's no doubt, but it carries weight with me that Slay, who is a leader and has been around this league for a long time, says that Reed Blankenship is the leader of the secondary. Well, in his absence, that does matter.
And we're not in the locker room. You're right. Like, so that I take it for what it's worth there. But I will say, in terms of what we've seen from the Super Bowl stuff, whether it was the speech the night before that he gave, the 1-2-3 breathe, stay here, all this stuff, it did feel like CJ GJ was a leader of that group, or at least viewed or acted as a leader of that group.
Yeah, I don't think you get asked to speak. Yeah.
That's
you
what know, I mean. I mean, he was a captain. He's one of the eight captains. So, like, It's just a weird thing.
Yeah, it's a little weird. I agree with that. All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day, brought to us today, as always, by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's selection of quality one-owner pre-owned vehicles at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. Poll question, are you surprised Zach Bond got so much money? The terms, 3 years, $51 million. With $34 million guaranteed. I was very surprised he got this much money, in large part because everyone kept telling me he wasn't going to get that much money. I got to stop listening to people. My initial inclination is he could be up there. Then everyone's like, no, it'll be, you know, not that much. I'm like, okay, I guess you're right. Well, he got a lot. John, poll question. Are you surprised Bond got so much money? How do you think people reacted, yes or no?
Well, everyone's happy. I think that might cross this up a little bit. Are you surprised? Sure. 60% will say $17 million a year is more than they expected.
79% are not surprised. I'm surprised that 79%.
I'm shocked by that.
I'm shocked 79% aren't surprised or shocked.
Like,
he's an off-ball inside linebacker. That's a lot.
And especially for the Philadelphia Eagles to do it.
Don't pay linebackers. They don't pay running backs.
Exactly. I mean, they now have the highest paid running back and the fifth highest paid linebacker. It's just, you know? And look, we're all happy these guys got signed. Like, it's universally, for the most part, beloved. Yeah. But it is different.
Yeah, I found that Twitter poll a surprising result. Let's get to Chris and Maple Shade. Reminder, Dave Dombrowski in 15 minutes. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning.
As Tony would say to Christopher. Christopher? No, it was really bad. And I can't do it.
Christopher!
No, Christopher. I'm trying to do a Tony Soprano.
Christopher.
Christopher.
Yeah, it's more like Christopher.
Because he didn't have the R's, Chris. Yeah. All right, what do you got, Chris?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, pal.
Great.
I just wanted to say, you know, I'm just super stoked that we signed him. I think it was a little bit high, but I'm glad we have him. I think we're going to be really the team to be going to the Super Bowl again next year.
Well, we'll see. I mean, let's see after next week who's on the team and who's not. But obviously, the Eagles have a great chance.
Do you think that the Saquon Barkley? Do you think that was high, like what they gave him? I mean, I know it's a record, but I mean, it's worth it, I think. But what do you guys think?
I'm so all good with it, Chris. There's never been a player that's deserved it more. And it's still not even that high. It's high for the position. But, you know, you think about it. It's
3 years from now, other guys will be paid and we'll look at that and say, wow, Howie was a genius.
Yeah, it's going to change things now for running backs, right? I mean, pretty much.
Yes. Yes, it will.
Yes, I think it will to a point, but also, like, Saquon is a super special running back. You know, so I don't think everyone's going to get paid like Saquon. Yeah.
But the big guys will get paid bigger money.
I think
now.
It really helps the best
and they'll
of the
get
best.
More guaranteed.
Yeah, I think it could really help.
Yeah.
Well, I think we are going to go again next year, and we're going to win it again. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Love it.
Yeah.
Tell him.
Chris, give me an answer, bud, for the best nickname.
I was thinking the Minister of Defense.
That's a great
that
one.
Is a
I like
answer.
That
again,
a lot.
Again, so many great Philly ones. So many. We haven't even mentioned.
There's a lot.
A ton left.
Yeah. You know, by the way, I think one of the things that has helped running backs value and helped the money that is now beginning to reemerge with running backs is the running quarterback. John, there's a symbiosis to, I've got a running quarterback. He might run to the left. I've got a good running back. He might run up the middle. It presents a problem for the defense. And probably half the teams in pro football now, if not more, have a quarterback with wheels. And I think to a certain extent, it actually makes the running back more valuable. Because if you can combine a good running back and a good running quarterback, you really put a defense in a bind.
You sure do. And you've got the tush push in your back pocket if you so choose.
Well, this team
By the way, tush push is also...
A nickname?
A nickname.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well,
for quarterback sneak. That,
for
I mean,
quarterback sneak that is
pushed. I would have voted for tush push
yeah.
to be a winner today. I think tush push is the answer.
Well, not anymore. It's not.
I know. Well, that's why.
Way to go, John.
It's important to take it off the board because
funny.
I would have had a hard time voting against
there
it.
There you go. Let's go to Mark in Downingtown. Hi, Mark.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
You bet, Mark.
First of all, are you guys going to have beat the hammer tomorrow?
Yes. Sure.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. Oh, my God, I can't wait.
Live beat the hammer, Joe.
Mark, let me put it this way. I'm going to scream when I win.
Oh, my God.
So loud. Like, I'm going to rattle the room where the Phillies brass is going to be meeting with, like, you know, who's going to be the leadoff hitter. Like, they're going to hear, the hammer! You know, when I go wild tomorrow at 7:55.
Yeah, I need it. So I want to align myself with James. I would prefer to have Kyle Schwarber be the leadoff hitter, but I'm open to having Turner try it out. I just don't want to see flip-flopping, you know, 2 or 3 months into this.
Well,
season.
You know why you see flip-flopping, right?
No.
Because it didn't work.
Well,
so let me tell you this. You'll welcome flip-flopping if they have 2 months of someone not doing well.
Well, that's what I mean here. I mean, 1 or 2 months is all I need, and then after that, that would be great.
I think he's saying don't go too – like when Trey first got here, what was he in the leadoff spot for? 3 weeks maybe, something like that? Yeah, and he was brought to be the leadoff hitter, and they abandoned it quick.
Yeah.
I think Mark's saying, like, if you're going to go for it, go for it.
And actually, your interview with Topper kind of swayed my – I mean, I was dead set on Schwarber leading off, and then when I heard Topper – your interview with Topper about – you know, adjusting Turner's.
It was interesting.
Yeah, it's compelling.
Yeah.
And I hope it works. Wouldn't that be something?
And I do think he'll get it. I think Trey Turner is going to be the leadoff hole hitter. All right, Mark, give me an answer for a great nickname.
Give me 1 second.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
What do we have, audio accompaniment?
No, I don't need an accompaniment. The nature board.
I was wondering if you were going to the bathroom. You wanted to give us a nickname for going to the bathroom, which there's about 35.
I thought he was just trying to create drama, really. You know,
how many nicknames are there for going to the bathroom?
Is there a sound effect?
A lot.
Right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of nicknames.
For both 1 and 2, so to speak, yes.
Yeah, but for 2, I mean, you got the word that begins with a D, the word that begins with a C.
Sure.
The word that begins with an S.
Sure. I mean, but
are we going to go through the
other one? You got an L, you got a, you know... Drain okay, something, so you know. There's all kinds of phrases.
You got two
use.
To begin with a P for standing up.
You're damn right.
You know,
Joe, you should assume this nickname.
There's one that's just that.
Mark, we're so juvenile. I mean,
I like to start with dropping.
God,
I like the colloquial dropping.
There's
something.
The whole, you know, take the Browns to the Super Bowl.
Oh my God!
All right, Mark,
dropping the kids off at the pool.
Dropping, there you go, but there you go with the dropping.
All right, Mark, I'm embarrassed now.
This is your fault. You started.
We go from this to Dave Dombrowski momentarily, or shortly at least. Mark, an answer for a great nickname.
I said the Nature Boys.
Oh, yeah, Nature Boys. Not bad. Not going to win, but you know.
Woo!
Not going to win. Yeah, from Clearwater, where we love being every year, generally for 2 shows, which for us this year, today and tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll have Kyle Schwarber on the program, Charlie Manuel, who's obviously one of our absolute favorites of all time. And it's always great being here as the Phils crank it up, particularly in this era where there's an expectation. You know, there's years in spring training. It's like, yeah, let's hope the Phils hang in there until May 1st. This year, and like it has been the last couple of years, there's an expectation of the playoffs. It's not going to be easy because obviously it's a really good division, but they have a heck of a shot. Spring training coverage here brought to us by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. We are not going to do Times Yours today, because we want to prioritize time with Dave Dombrowski, who's about to join us.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Then we do Time's Yours, and we expect to tomorrow. It's brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's welcome the president of baseball operations overseeing the Phillies for about a half a decade now, Mr. Dave Dombrowski. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. Welcome to Clearwater.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you. Welcome to WIP and our program. We appreciate it. Our booth inside your headquarters. How you feeling? You got another season about to crank up. Should be a heck of a division. You got a heck of a baseball team. How you feeling?
Well, I feel good about the club. I mean, it's one of those that we should be in any type of race that's out there. We have a good enough club to do it. You're always hopeful for health, of course. That's number one.
Yeah.
And we've got some depth, but if you get hurt at the wrong positions, that's never a good thing. But we have a great club, and we're in a situation we should compete all year long. We've reached the point here where if you don't make the playoffs, it'll be a very disappointing type of season for us.
So be a surprise, right?
It would be a surprise, yeah. And I don't ever want to take that for granted because it's hard. It's hard to win day in and day out and to push it. I also feel good about where we are not only here with the ball club, but I also feel good where we are from organizational perspective because we're finally getting some internal young players that have taken some time to come with us since I've been here. It's the best group of young players we have. Now, some of them are outs into the minor leagues, but they're not far from being with us. And we've got some really good players with the Millers, the Crawfords, the Painters, the Rinconas. It's really a fun group. So when you look at those young players meshing in with the group of players that we currently have, I think we're in for a good period of Phillies baseball for years to come.
So, Dave, let's talk about last October for a moment, and ironically not what you might perceive we talk about, which is the games that were played in those four games and they didn't go well. It's right after that. I'm curious, as you embark on a new season here, if October 15th, you'd been eliminated a few days before that, did you think then that you would have so many of the same position players back that are back? There's one new starter in the field, and he's even a part-time player. There was a perception of many fans that there would be more changes. Are you surprised there weren't?
Well, I guess I would say surprised to an extent because I think that when you're talking about being open-minded, which is how we presented it and that's how we really felt about it, and when you have good players and you're open-minded to it, it normally makes something happen, that usually something happens. In our situation, we were open-minded. We listened to what people had to say, but we were in a position where the moves just didn't make sense to make us a better ball club because you're not just making moves to make moves. You want to become a better club, or else if you trade somebody, you're in a position to put you in a spot to go pursue this free agent or this trade. So a little bit, if you'd have said October 15th and close after that, but then once we got to the winter meetings or close to the winter meetings, it became pretty apparent that I didn't think we were going to make major deals at that point because we just didn't find the same interest that we would have perceived in our players.
Have you had contract extension talks with either JT Realmuto or Kyle Schwarber?
Well, I'll take the same posture that I always take with contract negotiations. I really never discuss them publicly. I have found there's no value in that whatsoever. It's a situation, I think the best thing I could say is that they're both really good players. And you can throw Ranger Suarez into that situation also, that we're in a spot where we like them. We'd love to keep them part of the Phillies organization for years to come, and leave it at that.
So we do tend to skip way ahead. We think playoffs. What is the fix to cold offense in the playoffs?
Well, I hope it works as well as your mind then, because if we're going to that point, that would be great. You know, really, it's an interesting perspective, because when you put together a good club, which I believe that we have, we won 95 games last year, you really look at, there's some really good offensive play. We have some really star players on our team. We pitched well. It's a situation that sometimes it comes, you have to perform well at that particular time. That's just it, the way it is. And you can look at other clubs, and I never say, well, look at that team, and now we're just like that. But look at other clubs. They have that same scenario. And I've been with clubs that have outstanding offenses. I've been with the Detroit Tigers when we had not only good clubs but great offenses. Been with the Boston Red Sox, great offenses. We won it all in the one year. But other years we didn't. And it really comes down to that you have to get a big hit at a key time. And sometimes the guys come through and sometimes they don't. The competition is really good at that particular time of the year. And sometimes it's just you're hot at that particular moment. Guys are swinging the bat at that particular time, and other times there's not. And mm-hmm. I mean, you can talk about plate discipline, and I know that everybody talks that about, and you always try to increase that and be a little bit better. But the reality is, it was interesting. Last year we went into it at the time, and in the playoffs, our plate discipline was in the middle of the pack versus playoff clubs.
Didn't look like it to me.
No, but
it I hear you. You're basing that on
statistics. Analysis. Yes,
it didn't. And obviously, we were living and dying with every pitch.
Sure,
You know.
Yes,
as I'm sure
as I was too.
You were as well.
But it's interesting at that time. But it just shows how hard it is to score runs. I mean, I look back and I look when I was with the Detroit Tigers back in 2013. We had a great club, three sure bet Hall of Famers, right? Verlander, Scherzer, Cabrera on that team, and five Cy Young Award winners were on that staff. Okay, and we were in a position where we had over their careers, and we were in a position that we held the Boston Red Sox at that point. I was with the Tigers to the lowest batting average in the history of any postseason at that point.
That sounds pretty good.
And we got beat 4-2. Because you know why? David Ortiz hit a grand slam home run against us in the 8th inning off in our situation off of Benoit.
Yeah.
That just made it out of there. Mm. We lost the next game 1-0 with Justin Verlander pitching.
So, a lot
of times it's getting those key big hits at that big time, and that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
And so that's what you hopefully end up doing, and you put together players to do it. The Dodgers have the great club. They won the World Championship, right? They got beaten the first round the 2 years before that.
Yeah.
Atlanta Braves have been beaten the first round 3 years in a row. So it really comes down to you put together a good club. You're in a spot where you hopefully pitch. And even you look at the first game, right? We lost 6-1, I think it was. We were up 1-0 in the 8th inning, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Our bullpen didn't do the job that day, and it had been a really good bullpen. So you just need to do things and play games in order to win them.
Sure.
And it comes any way you possibly can.
So, and Dave Dombrowski here with us as we broadcast from Clearwater today. So, Dave, what you are saying resonates massively with me. John and James know, and our listeners know, I've been preaching this since you guys got eliminated. There's the that's baseball term that, you know, short series, things can happen. Okay, we all know that. Not everybody, though, accepts that. There are a lot of fans that are ticked in ways that they weren't after 22 and after 23, who are losing some patience and belief. What do you say to those fans that say, yeah, everything you just said can be totally accurate, but I don't want to hear it, and I don't want excuses, and I want a George Steinbrenner type to lead my team from an ownership standpoint, and I want a Dallas Green type to lead my team from a managerial standpoint. Guys, enough talk. Go win me a World Series. What do you say to those people, which I think there's a lot of out there now?
Sure, and I get it. I think it's a situation. First of all, I'd never used the term, that's baseball.
Okay.
Because I don't believe
I've used it.
Yeah, I don't believe that either.
Okay.
because I don't believe that just happens. I mean, you can go out there and perform better and do things. I think that's baseball. When that term comes into play is when you get a broken bat hit that flies over the second baseman's head, and you, or you get a little chopper in the infield, and a guy makes a great pitch, and all of a sudden it drives in around you, saying, "I can't believe that that took place."
Yeah.
That's to me is, I think the reality is you need to perform better, is what it comes down to at those key times, and I need to put players in a position to do that. I think what ends up happening is, and this is not the first time I've ever been around this, is that patience wears thin, right, is what it comes down to. In 22, people were thrilled that we were in the playoffs. We made a nice run to be in a spot. In 23, to this day, I mean, it will be one of the more devastating playoff losses I've ever been around, losing to Arizona, being up 3-2. Last year, I don't think we played very well coming to the postseason.
Yeah.
The Mets played better than we did. And I don't think yelling and screaming in baseball does much good. I've been around it, you know, long enough to be in that spot. Nobody's happy. I mean, internally, we're not happy. There's things we talk about, we discuss. Now, when you say that, and some of this stuff falls beyond my final decision, I guess I could make decisions in my spot, but you know, sometimes you change a lineup, right? Maybe that changes it. Maybe that makes it. Maybe you end up getting a better fifth starting pitcher, and that all of a sudden changes your situation. Maybe you get a young pitcher that comes up and performs for you. Maybe at the middle of the year. And I will say last year I felt bad. I thought that Austin Hayes would really help us at the trade deadline when we made that. Well, nobody wants to hear it. I don't want to hear it. He got hurt and had a kidney infection that nobody would ever anticipated. And versus some of those left-hand pitchers that we faced, I think would have been a very valuable guy for it. Can't do anything after that time period to make another trade. So I get it. It doesn't I was telling Jason Stark recently, came in and did an interview with me, and we talked about it. I said, you know, it's interesting. I was with a writer, Hall of Fame writer. His name is John Lowe in Detroit. And John Lowe came up to me, and this was, I don't know, 2013, and said, "Dave, do you realize this is the greatest time period in Detroit Tiger baseball history? You've had better record over the time period that you've ever had. We're drawing 3 million people a year. You got great players people want to come see play, and it's the greatest time period." And I said, "You know, it's wonderful. It's great. But it won't be recognized that until we win a world championship."
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't.
Right.
So 68 and 84 are thought of along those lines better. But if you looked at it over the time period, it was the best time.
Wow.
And it will be the same for this club. And that's just the way it is. We have a very good club. Now, of course, there's been great time periods in 2008 to 11, and the Phillies won a world championship and drew 3 million people a year and a lot of great players. And that's probably the greatest time period in Phillies baseball history. This can challenge it. If we win a world championship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if we don't, that's just the way it is. And I mean, I do spend every day I can, a lot part of my day, on how we can make that happen and what moves we can make happen. But the reality is you have good players, and they have to play well at the right time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, people may not want to hear it, but that's just the way it is. Sometimes a guy needs to pitch a shutout rather than give up one run. Sometimes you need to give a big hit rather than hit a line drive, and everybody says, geez, you know, you can go back through his guys. It's a line drive at the second baseman. Well, if it was 2 inches that way, they win that ball game. So it's the heartbreaking part. That's what makes our game so tough at times.
It's all about perspective.
And you can't go out there and, you know, just the players know it. I mean, we're not – I mean, to go and yell and scream at the players doesn't really do you much good because they know it. I mean, I can guarantee that there's not anybody that's sitting in our clubhouse that are thrilled that we haven't won a world championship yet. But I think the reality is, hey, we have the talent to do it. Now we got to go do it.
Dave, again, it really is all about perspective. My perspective is sort of, I'm floundering right now because we talked to Rob Thompson an hour and a half ago talking about the leadoff spot. If Trey Turner is leading off, then Bryce would be in the two spot. How do you feel about that? What do you make of that concept? What's your perspective on that idea?
Well, also, I have my perspective. I have my feel on it. But I am going to keep that to myself because I find that that's the manager's decision. And the reality is, too, and this is no offense to Rob Thompson, I don't agree with what the manager does all the time, just like you probably don't. But it's not just Rob Thompson. It's any manager. I've been around Hall of Fame
managers. We keep our opinions to ourselves at WIP. Sure. We never criticize.
I'm sure. You know, that's one of the good things I hear about you. That's it. But the reality...
We're like Mr. Rogers around here. It's all nice.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great lesson because early in my career, I wasn't a general manager at that time, but Tony La Russa was our manager. And then when I was with, of course, for a while with the Marlins and then the Tigers, Jim Leland was... Well, they're two of my best friends. They're two Hall of Fame managers. And I sat up there. I didn't agree with everything they did. Now, they were right more often than I was, I will say that. But that's part of the fun of our game that people have, too, the second-guessing aspect of it. So, but when I start coming out with that, I think it puts undue pressure and all thought processes on the manager. And he knows the way I think, but I wouldn't come out and publicly tell it.
So Dave Dombrowski with us here. A few more minutes before we turn it over to Joe and Hugh at the top of the hour. Dave, a couple other aspects of the team if we can get to. Trey Turner. I've heard people say, I don't know if it's true or not, that the organization doesn't want to move Trey Turner to the outfield because the organization promised Trey Turner that he'd be the shortstop for a long time. Did the organization promise Trey Turner that he'd be the shortstop for a long time? Is the organization concerned about approaching him to move to the outfield?
Well, the way I would say, when we signed him as a shortstop, and we told him that he would be our shortstop, and we felt that way. But if we don't think Trey Turner is capable of playing good shortstop, and you have to remember it's defense and offense that combines there, too. No, we'd move him off a shortstop. But that would be the way it is. Now, he wouldn't per se like it, and you wouldn't just wake up one day and say, we're moving you. You'd do the proper steps. But, no, there's no promises that he would be our shortstop for the future.
I'm glad to hear that. No, that's great. You used the term earlier. I agree with it. Some may not. You called the team great. Let's get to that. Do you believe it is a great team this year? Is that
well,
correct?
Well, maybe if I did say, I feel great about the club. I can't tell you we're a great club. No, I don't mean to say. I think we're a good club, a really good club. But great will be when you win a championship. That's for me. So I think we have a very good club. We have a lot of positives of it. You can always be better.
Yeah.
I feel great about it, but I don't mean to imply that we're just, to me, you're great when you win it
all.
Go
prove it, yeah. So, Dave, something that we have kicked around on our show a little bit in recent weeks, and this is a topic I never conceived would ever enter the sports discussion, but it has for us. Is it better to win the division or not? So let's talk about this for a second. If you win the division and get a bye, which two of the three teams get a bye, you have advanced in the playoffs beyond the first round, but you're waiting 5, 6, 7 days to play a game. Is it better to win the division or not?
Well, you're going to try to win the division. That's the way it is, because you're going to try to win every game you possibly can.
Yeah.
And I the way I answer that question, which is a taking an easy way out. Because my wife asked me this question, too, all the time.
I mean, it's a valid question. There are a lot of teams, including before last year, the Dodgers would get clipped in their first series. The Braves were getting clipped in their first series. The Yankees, I mean, it's happened a lot
with
the new format.
A lot. Right, that's why.
So James is on the record saying, like, he really thinks it might be better for you to be a wild card team. I mean, James, do you really believe that, James?
I'm torn on it, obviously, but yeah, look, the only two postseasons they went as a wild card, we've gone further. I mean, the team has played hot. I think more than anything, you have to be peaking in September and October.
But and part of peaking is not waiting for a week.
My point is having to win that wild card, having to fight for it, and then getting in. Like
the Eagles just played in
momentum,
the wild card round,
you know?
And won a
they
Super
did,
Bowl.
But it's a different sport. And it's different. Yeah. All right, so Dave, what do you think?
Here's my answer to it, which will encompass a lot there. I would rather go into the wild card if you guaranteed me we win the first round.
Right.
No, but that's a great. You're right.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's right. Fair.
Yes. Because then you're rolling.
Then I'm rolling.
Even though you're playing the next series on the road in game one,
I don't care.
Yeah, I agree.
Because
with that.
Really,
that's where I'm at.
Really, it's.
But you can't guarantee it.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Because it's in a short series, in a 3-game series, anything can happen.
Yeah.
You know, even much more so. So that's why. If you told me, I'd rather win the division and I take my chances, and I would like to approach that, okay, how do we come in hot and play well and that after a 5-day layoff? Frankly, I have not been with clubs that have been very successful at that. I've struggled with that.
That's
at
interesting.
Times.
Wow.
And even when we've lost two times in the World Series, when we were just had great clubs – and we had 7 days off when I was with the Tigers 1 year, and actually twice with the Tigers in 2006 and 2012. We won, marched through in four games, and we had in the ALCS at that point, so we had 6 or 7 days off. And everybody was picking us to be the favorite, and we scuffled. And it was from the offensive perspective. One time we struggled with defense as far as pitching was concerned. We do everything we can. We work hard. We were ready to do it. And it can be done. Look at the Dodgers did it, right, last year. Mm-hmm. So they ended up advancing in that regard. So it can be done. But those best of three, they really scare you. Because if anything can happen, and all of a sudden one of your guys has a bad outing, and now it's, here we go.
Your season's on the line. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what my choice would be. But if I had to choose one or the other, I'd still rather win the division.
Yeah, it's a tough call. All right, a couple final moments here with Dave Dombrowski. Dave, Bryce Harper wants a new contract. You don't talk contracts. I ask questions. Is Bryce Harper going to get a new contract anytime soon? I guess the best question.
I guess I'd have to give you my same answer as I did, and I think that's the appropriate one. So I think in that situation, he's a great player. We know that. I know that we feel, and John Middleton wants him to finish his career as a Philadelphia Philly, and leave it at that.
Is Middleton ratcheting up the pressure on you and Rob Thompson and the players, particularly the star players?
Well, is he ratcheting up? I think he wants to win a lot, and you know, and he's like probably he's a combination of owner and Philadelphia fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he is a Philadelphia fan. Yeah. That's true.
So I think that you see that in him, probably maybe a little bit more. Like, you get a little more frustrated as time goes on. But I don't think it's ratcheting up as far as pressure is concerned. Hey, we feel the same thing. We play a bad game. I know I think one of the hardest things that I've learned throughout my career. So I played sports. You know, I played sports my whole career, sure. And played football and baseball and even basketball for a while. But in there is the hardest thing is learning to be patient with the losing part of baseball when you play 162 games, because you're just not going to, even though, why don't we win 162 games, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're going to get beat, and you're going to play five games. I say this, I just got done. You're going to play five games every year where you absolutely stink and get crushed. And you're going to win five games like that.
Sure.
I don't like us to play those five games, but the walk into the manager's office and yell and scream and all that, it happens to basically everybody. It's our sport.
Yeah.
Now, if you do that in football and you lose 52-0,
probably says something about your team.
Yeah,
a little different.
But in baseball, it unfortunately it happens, and you just gotta pick it up and come back the next day and deal with it and go win the next day.
I think it's an interesting distinction, though. In football, you yell at guys, and it really does elicit a response. They can actually do better. They can tap into anger or something. Tapping into anger at the plate, what is that going to do for you?
Usually not, because you want to be more relaxed up at the plate and focused. And not that you can't be upset and all that type of stuff, but the anger part of it. So that's the hardest thing that you learn throughout the year, and it's not easy, because you want to win every – I mean, I don't know about anything I play. I want to win, competitively.
Yeah. Desperately.
But, and when I used to play against my kids in Monopoly, I wanted to win that game. You know, maybe you do let them win, you know, but you never felt great about it.
I got a couple extra hundreds in my pocket because I want to win so bad.
Speaking of Dave, final thing here with Dave Dombrowski. Speaking of win, Dave, we were going to – right after speaking to you, but we'll do it right now with you live on the air. We got to award tickets to someone to see Eric Clapton.
Oh, I like what you're doing here. This is
Eric
good.
Clapton tickets.
This is good. We're going to let Dave choose here?
You're going to choose, if you don't mind, the best nickname ever, as said by our callers who nominated about 15 famous nicknames. So I'm just going to rattle them off to you. If you could just tell me which of these you think is the best.
Okay.
Most of them are sports. Maybe all of them are sports. Hakeem the Dream, the Great One, Air Jordan, Fats Domino, Chocolate Thunder. I know this is a lot to maintain. Just Babe Ruth, Jack the Ripper, which is pretty good, Charlie Hustle, Tiger Woods, The Greatest, The Juice, The King, The Minister of Defense.
Wow, those are tough ones.
Yeah.
So which would you go with? This is for Eric Clapton tickets. Someone's going to win a prize right now, courtesy of Dave Dombrowski to see Clapton.
That's pretty cool, by the way.
Who is it? Who is it?
Give me the Minister of Defense.
Yes! That's a Philadelphia answer right there, my friend. Well done. Yes.
Congratulations to Chris. He's going to see Eric Clapton. Chris, you got it, buddy. Hey, let me remind everyone, our coverage today brought to us by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. All right, Dave, good luck to your squad.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Good luck to your squad. We really look forward to a great season. I think it will be at least a heck of a season. And I hope, you know, in October you guys go all the way.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Dave.
All right, there he is. Phillies, the man that runs baseball operations, Dave Dombrowski.